Hey everyone, I'm Ashley Banfield, and this is Drop Dead Serious, and holy bejesus, do I have an update for you. I'm recording this on Friday, May 8th, and tomorrow it will be 5 weeks since Lynette Hooker disappeared in the Abacos in the Bahamas. And 5 weeks, nearly to the day, guess what's happened just a few hours ago? The sailboat that Lynette and her husband Brian were living aboard and sailing and presumably living an enjoyable retirement just moved, as in left, took off from Marsh Harbor on its way westward towards the United States of America. So I've been watching that little mofo for every one of these weeks. I had eyes on it, not just cameras, but also people watching it. Remember Captain Ronnie? Yeah, you do. And if you don't, go back to some of my earlier episodes where Captain Ronnie took me all over the Sea of Abaco, Elbow Key, Lubbers, Marsh Harbor, took me all around Soulmate while it was plunked on a mooring ball in the middle of Marsh Harbor. Well, Captain Ronnie drives by it every day to work, so he kept an eye on it for me. And today, as it turns out, thank you, Captain Ronnie, we've learned that it is gonzo. I'll tell you what. Couple of days ago, we learned it had moved mooring balls, and I actually taped an episode and I'm redoing it because now things have really changed. It moved from its center of the harbor mooring ball to a mooring ball just off the docks closer to the Conch Inn. Remember, they're renting the mooring ball. The Hookers were renting the mooring ball from the Conch Inn, and that gave them privileges to, you know, use the pool and the bar and the restaurant and, you know, their services. And it moved after 4.5 weeks. Why? I kept wondering. I said. Couple things. I thought, number one, it's a nice mooring ball they had, and since there ain't nobody on the boat, maybe the Conch Inn moved it to a less desirable mooring ball, which is nearer to the docks, and you know, who wants to hang by the docks? If they come in, they want to be out where the water's fresher, cleaner, a little more privacy. I wondered if that was the reason. Then I wondered, maybe it's closer to the docks because they want to keep an eye on it, because, you know, pirates could be, and that is not a joke. A lot of people know there's no one on board that boat, and that is not a weird thing. It happens all the time. People can get up on board and strip the thing clean of all of its electronics and valuable things, and no one might know, a thing about it if it were done in the dark. So maybe the Conch Inn wanted to keep an eye on it closer. That would have happened earlier. Then I wondered, maybe it's coming closer, so there's a sale and they want to get people on board easier. I did not game out the possibility that it was going to actually come into dock so that provisions could be loaded on board for an Atlantic crossing. I did not think of that. So that it could actually sail or motor from the Bahamas back to Florida. It's about a 24-hour sail or so, depending on where you're going. And apparently that's what happened. Big thanks to the sailboat Reefin' It for posting that they saw this happen. Took pictures as well as sailmate, you know, cozied up to the wharf, and captains who are for hire or whomever was working for them or for Brian loaded provisions on board and got ready to take that boat back to America. We can only assume back to America because it ain't going east. So how do you do it? Did Brian sail or fly or motor to the Bahamas? Not effing likely, because he didn't want to be caught dead there. It's why he bugged out of there, you know, less than 24 hours after telling the national media he'd never leave there without his wife. Blah. Liar. He was saying that at the same time as getting his emergency passport so he could, you know, bounce out of the Bahamas. Remember when he said this to the national media?
You want to keep looking for Lynette.
I'm going to need somebody with more authority to tell me to stop.
Yeah, higher authority, my ass. Basically, you're just effing lying, Brian, because while you're telling NBC, ABC, and CBS all that bullshit, all those lies, you, in the background, paddling under the water while the duck is calm above, you were getting your emergency passport all set up so that the next day you could be on a flight out of the Bahamas for good, right? So I do not think that Brian went back to the Bahamas. I did hear a rumor, totally unsubstantiated, by a guy at the Conch Inn that he'd seen Brian back at the Conch Inn and snap a Pete's. Unsubstantiated. I really don't believe that was possible. I mean, anything's possible, I guess. But that was just this week. I don't think he would have gotten on a plane and landed at Pindling Airport in Nassau or flown direct to Marsh Harbor. I just, no way. I think he would have, if he ever decided to just go by boat, because you could do that, could leave the shores of America, go to Bahamas by boat, but that's pretty effing dangerous. You're basically in the country of the Bahamas illegally, and so many eyes are on that guy, and he does not want to be in the Bahamas. So here's the prevailing wisdom, is that he hired delivery captain and delivery crew. This happens all the time, by the way. Boats go back and forth between, well, everywhere, but a lot of boats go between Florida and the Bahamas and other points of interest along the west coast of, the east coast of America and other points. But it is a very standard thing to get a delivery captain to bring your boat back and forth instead of you having to make the crossing yourself. But it ain't cheap. And I'm going to tell you in a minute exactly what it would have cost, roughly what it would have cost to do one of these things, hire a captain and a crewmate, because you can't have just one person on board, not for that kind of journey. It's over 24 hours of just straight motoring. And this boat, Soulmate, was clipping along at 6.4 knots. You know how I know? Because I got eyes on it. Yeah, Brian, you're not doing things secretly if you think you are, fella. I got eyes on your fucking boat. And not only that, I put a camera on your boat, not on it, but trained on it. So I want to show you some of the pictures that Lindsay and I were able to scramble together today as this guy was skulking his boat out of the Bahamas. You know, slower skulk than you got out of there, fella, but skulking nonetheless, because your effing captain may be under your order, I don't know, turned off his AIS. Now, why would you do that? For those who don't know what AIS is, it's basically a marine tracking system where you can see boats all over the place, their journeys, who owns them, all the rest. But if you don't want to be seen, click, you turn it off. Now, why? Why would you not want it to be seen, Brian, as it's leaving Marsh Harbor at 10-ish this morning? That's what happened. Whoever was captaining that yacht, 46-foot sloop, Soulmate, can't believe that name, the irony, Soulmate, decided to turn off its location. Wow, that's rich. Not only that, but there was unknown data on it. No point of reference where it's going. No information at all. Look at you, you sneaky little fuck. You, Brian, got fired from AT&T for masking your location data on your truck as a telephone repairman and install man, right? You're an installer of phones and a repairman of phones. You know everything about the electronics of phones, and you got fired for fucking with your GPS on your van. I guess you know a thing or two about masking your location. Is that what is going on here with the captains who were put on board Soulmate to take it out of Marsh Harbor and get it back to, I don't know, somewhere where you could get it back or sell it? Because this thing might be worth upwards of $100,000. So, not scratch, right? Not scratch. My feeling, personally, is that this is a crime scene. This is a floating crime scene. This is my opinion. Brian hasn't been charged with anything. Not yet, TikTok. But I do not believe for a minute that Lynette Hooker bounced off the back of your dinghy on the way back to this 46-foot sloop. I think you made it back to this 46-foot sloop that was anchored in Ampat's Bay, and I think something happened to her on board there, and I think that something might involve you. Again, Brian Hooker hasn't been charged, but everything else he says is a lie. Everything else he's saying about her bouncing off the boat in 2 to 4 foot seas and 18-knot winds and the currents and the tides, none of it's true. I can prove it, and I have. So, yeah, Brian, you're caught in so many lies. I wonder how many other lies you may have told. In any case, Soulmate, the name, is on its way. It's already at this point, at the time that I'm taping this, past Freeport and on its way clearing the Bahamas into the open ocean, on its way to the United States. Let me tell you a couple things. I told you it was moored at the Konkan and Marina, and that's where it provisioned and got its delivery captain and crew. I don't know how many. I don't know if he had one captain, one crew, but that would be enough. And if you're cheap, you could do it that way. I worked out some of the costs on what Brian would have had to do if he didn't sneak over to the Bahamas himself. So for a 46-foot sailing vessel from Marsh Harbor to the east coast of Florida, okay, I'm going to give just a range there. You got a budget for somewhere between $4,000 and $8,000 to have a delivery captain and crew do this for you. Why? Let me break it down. You can't do this on your own, right? Because it's over 24 hours. You can't have one person do that alone. It's dangerous if you fall asleep. You got to have somebody, you know, on a windlass if you're going to have to anchor for any reason. It's just, it's really not smart to do this alone, okay? And I don't know that a lot of captains would do it alone. Don't quote me on that. But it would be typical that a captain would have at least one crew member. Okay, so you got a budget about $4,500 to $9,000 for captain and crew all in. Once you add the fuel, because you're motoring, you're not sailing. No captain's going to sail this thing for you. It did take way too long. You're going to motor. And right now I said he's going 6.4 knots. So the fuel, there's costs for customs and clearance when you come into the U.S. waters, right? That's not free. That takes a lot of paperwork and time. There's dockage fees. You got to provision the boat with food and water and drinks and everything because you got to be on this thing for like at least 2 days, right? Maybe three. The travel expenses. So it's a lot. It's a lot. And the guess here is that it's likely somewhere around $6,000 to $7,500 to do this paid crossing. But it's, you know, if you're looking at around $100,000 asset, I'd spend that to get that thing back and maybe not fly there myself and get put in the Huskow potentially. So there you go. This is the big news. I am just so surprised, I got to say, that the AIS was turned off. That's like, what, next level of fucking skulking, you know? Why would the captain have done that? Most captains wouldn't just do that unless they were told to, right? Also, just want to let you know, there are other boats, Brian, who are looking at you. A lot of people are pissed at you and your stories, your lies. A lot of people don't believe a thing you've said, and a lot of people think you are responsible for something far more grave in this story. And so a lot of people have eyes on you. And as we all know, that route is well traveled with lots of boats and lots of really honest, loving people, good citizens who care about Lynette and do not care about you, not in the loving, caring way anyway. So lots of people are watching your boat. And I was so moved when Wendy, one of our followers, our listeners, Wendy, thank you so much for reaching out to us, spotted your fucking boat on its way into, I don't know, safer harbor, I guess you think. And Wendy reached out to us. She was right up around Whale Key. And if you're heading out of Marsh Harbor and heading northwest to circle around Grand Bahama and Freeport and then head all the way west directly across the Atlantic, you'd have to go by Whale Key. And that's a cut where, you know, Wendy got kind of close and was able to take pictures of your boat, Brian. That soulmate you're looking at. Those are Wendy's shots. And then I want to let you know something else. While Wendy was doing this for us and saying, hey, I got a beat on soulmate. It's sailing beside me and it's going fast. Like it is fucking hauling ass, right? I called Captain Ronnie and I'm like, Captain Ronnie, bro, that boat, it's on its way. I don't know how far away you are, but if you could do me a solid, and Captain Ronnie knew a guy who knew a guy who knew a guy, and this guy tears out there, and it's a long way. He's like under high speed trying to get video of Soulmate, and he captured it. It's a bit blurry, but he captured Soulmate. You can fully see that blue sail cover. That is Soulmate. Just around, let's see, what time was it? Around 1 o'clock this afternoon. Again, this is May 8th, Friday, May 8th. But thank you, Captain Ronnie. You are just exquisite. I owe you a debt of gratitude for so much of this. And anybody who's watching this in the Bahamas, please give him a high five and then buy him a Bahama Mama or something when you see him in the bar, because he's been so incredibly helpful, you know, to no advantage of his own. You know, he's just done this free of charge out of the goodness of his heart. He, too, does not like the story that Brian Hooker has told and believes that Lynette deserves justice as the rest of us do. Except, I don't know if you, Brian, if you're watching. And if you are, yeah. For the listeners who don't see this, I'm giving him the middle finger. And on top of that middle finger to Brian, and if it's to you, I'll speak right to you, Brian. Why haven't you called your stepdaughter, who's been your stepdaughter since she was about three? Why haven't you reached out to her? If this terrible thing happened to you, didn't that terrible thing happen to you and Lynette's family? Why haven't you called Darlene, your mother-in-law? Like once with this cryptic weird shit, hours and hours after you got back on that boat, because I know what time you called them and I know what time you got back on board your boat after being rescued off of the Marsh Harbor shore. Why did it take you so long to reach out to them with this shit story? And then why did they never hear from you again? Isn't that curious? I think we all who are watching right now want to know. Did you do something else other than the story you told? Because if the story that you told was true, you'd have flown right to Darlene and right to Carly. And you'd have been like commiserating with them over the horror that you've been through. But no, you fucking went underground. Yeah. So imagine that's the way the rest of us see you. That's the prism through which we're looking at you. And by the way, that's the prism through which Darlene and Carly are now looking at you. And to that end, hey, everybody watching Drop Dead Serious right now. Darlene wants to go to the Bahamas. She wants to put some pressure on the local authorities there to help here, help do some really good digging to find her daughter. I think... I'm not going to speak for her, but I think it's pretty much presumed that she's not going to see her daughter alive. But that doesn't mean she doesn't want her daughter. Doesn't mean Carly doesn't want her mom. And they deserve that. They deserve to get Lynette. They deserve for Lynette to be found. Lynette deserves to be found. And to that end, I want to ask you from the bottom of my heart to help Carly Aylesworth, Lynette's daughter, and Darlene Hamlet get money for a ticket and accommodations to get back to the Bahamas to do this. They've got a GoFundMe. It's Lynette Hooker Missing in the Bahamas. They're using it for this purpose of finding her, but also burying her and a funeral for her eventually when they're ready for that. They're not ready yet. But if you could give generously, if you could give whatever you can to that GoFundMe, look, it's like upwards of 150 to 200,000 people who watch these episodes. Imagine if everyone just gave a dollar. Like, we could really help them to get this mission accomplished and to find Lynette. I am committed to finding Lynette and getting justice for Lynette. Looking at you, Brian. I will not let this go. I'm like a dog with a bone. Do not test me. I think you already know that because I have a feeling you're probably watching every episode, fella. Tick fucking talk. Good luck getting that boat. In any case, outside of Marsh Harbor and around the north and heading to the east, there is this abandoned, desecrated, beautiful resort marina called Snapper Point Marina. And we have done an episode on this before showing that Lynette and Brian and Carly, Lynette's daughter, who was there visiting with them in February, they had either paddleboarded or dinghied over to this area to go exploring on the ruins of this beautiful, you know, once upon a time, beautiful resort marina that got ruined, absolutely desecrated in Hurricane Dorian in 2019. So they'd been over there on social media. They'd been posting, walking up. Lynette's got her, you know, stick cam, 3D cam or 360 cam and showing walking through all these ruins. So they're familiar with this wrecked out old marina. And I'll tell you something, everybody I was asking among the locals, I could not believe how many people did not know about it, did not go there. It's so out of the way. Even though it looks like it's right there, it's just not. You don't drive by it, you don't boat past it. It's just one of those places that not a lot of locals seemed to know about. It was weird. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You don't know about this place that Lynette showed on her social media? It's just right around the way from Marsh Harbor's, you know, Anchorage. So yeah, it's remote. What a great place to hide a body if you needed to. I'm just saying. So anyway, we were so thankful to a tipster who came to us via our tip line, dropdeadseriousinfo@gmail.com. Nathan, thank you. Nathan went searching at Snapper Point Marina, the ruins of Snapper Point Marina. And he sent us a series of his videos. And there's a lot about it that I'd like to show you just with the sound. He doesn't talk through them. He just walks and he just looks. And I was really transfixed watching what he was seeing. Now, he's not a professional cameraman, and we're going to slow down a few things here and there and speed up a few things here and there. He's basically just walking and looking. And just something I want to tell you before you watch the video, because you're going to see some things where you'll say, stop. That looks like the color of Lynette's bathing suit cover up. It's, you know, the aqua green. Or stop. That might be her dry bag. So while the camera may go by it quickly, Nathan didn't. Nathan might be filming this way, but still looking and recognizing it and seeing it up close and realizing, okay, no, that's not the bathing suit cover up or the dry bag. So I don't want you to panic thinking he missed something when you look at this. But let me play for you just some of these videos now so that you can see what Snapper Point Marina looks like and the searching that he did. He did all along the ruins of the old marina, the buildings. What I found so striking about what he's seeing here is, like, it's sad. This is like the detritus of what was once beautiful. I mean, look at the pictures the way they used to be. This was a beautiful place. I can imagine it being a very expensive place to stay with the gorgeous patios and the pool and, you know, obviously like docks that could fit a 90-foot boat in safe harbor and beaches. I mean, if you're looking around there, obviously you can see that it hasn't really been touched, it feels like, since 2019. And so you see just sort of, I don't know, it feels like the Roman ruins in a way, but you can certainly see that Nathan was really thoughtful in the way he was filming everything. It is sad because there's a lot of places that, you know, are still like this. In the Abacos, they just got hammered. It was so bad for them. Dorian just basically wiped places completely off the map like this. I wonder if anyone will ever pick this place up and you know, redevelop it, but there's whole buildings that are just gone off the foundation. The tiles are even gone. You know, it's like amazing. But, you know, I have to think that even though he's searching through the buildings, I don't think Brian Hooker would be dumb enough to just, if he killed her, and that is a big if, allegedly, I think he would never want her to be found, because if she's ever found, it means she didn't float the way he said she floated. And there's no statute of limitations on murder, y'all. If she shows up buried or burrowed in some ruins on shore, that means Brian's story is a lie and he would be arrested for murder, like PDQ, pretty damn quick. And maybe he'd be making for a country that doesn't have an extradition treaty with the United States. I don't know. But it's good that Nathan searched those places because they had been there before. And so if Lynette might have been placed there, I don't know. It's good that he searched them. But it does show you just how top of mind that would have been. Remember that place I went to? Because again, if the scenario is that Lynette was killed on board Soulmate, then there would only be a matter of hours where whoever killed her, and if it's allegedly Brian, I'm not saying it is, he hasn't been charged, they'd have to think real damn quick where to go in the dark of night. And they'd have to know where they were going. So it would have to be a place you'd been to before. So I just wanted to show you, like, this particular area and what Nathan was seeing in this area. I also want to tell you a little bit about the soil. Because if you're up on land away from the beach, I've had multiple locals tell me, don't think you can just dig anywhere in the Abacos. Everything's like coral. Like the soil, you could dig down a little and then you're going to hit coral. Like, it's just really hard. So it's not an easy place to dig and bury a body. And a lot of locals have said to me they believe that the only way Lynette hasn't shown up is if she's buried on land somewhere, but that burying on land is not an easy feat. And it ain't like you're going to get off a sailboat and go to the Home Depot and get yourself a shovel. No, this is a very fast plan that would have had to have been made if somebody killed Lynette and if somebody needed to get rid of Lynette. Not saying it's Brian. Brian hasn't been charged, but okay, let's move on. You don't have a shovel necessarily. I don't know how many sailors keep shovels on board their boat. I never did. I can't imagine why I'd need one. Shovel? Anyway, so you got to kind of MacGyver your way if that's the plan, right? And these are not good places on land, up on land away from the beaches to be able to dig. And again, if you're trying to hide her body, you don't want it to ever be found. So even these trees and piles and stuff, Sure. Could somebody put Lynette under a pile? Sure. But she would eventually be found. That would be an absolute no-brainer. And that would mean an ultimate murder charge, because nobody's going to float up into like a pile of trees way up high on an island. Tide doesn't go up this high. And also, you can usually tell when these things are recently unearthed. You can tell when a pile is kind of recently put there from hurricane ruins that have been there, you know, for 6+ years. So the searching that you're seeing is, it's intriguing because you want to kind of know the places that Brian knew about and Lynette knew about, if indeed he needed to go somewhere that he knew about. But I've been counseled strongly against the possibility that she's buried somewhere up where it's hard to dig. And some of the other notions are that, how hard would it have been to get here? So we've shown you maps before in previous episodes as we continue to watch Nathan's searches. We've shown you some maps before that it's possible, sure, it's hard to kind of get here in the nighttime. He'd have to go all the way across and get to this shore and then go all the way down the shore, a couple of miles down to where his dinghy was found. Look, dinghy was already over there. So he was already over there. To go up and around to find this part, yeah, the waves would have picked up and the wind would have picked up a lot by the time that you get to this side of the Sea of Abaco, so it would have been a little bit treacherous. But again, he's already over there because he, so to speak, washed up on the shores of Marsh Harbor. So he was already over in this area. It would have just been, you know, a bit of a shitty ride to have to go up and around and to, you know, where Snapper Point Marina used to be. And again, it's not like you want to put her inside a building. That wouldn't help. She'd be found and she would never have floated naturally into a building like this. Not unless there was a massive hurricane again. And that's, you shouldn't be waiting for that if you're hoping to escape a murder charge. Again, not saying that he murdered her, not charged with anything. I'm gaming out, where could Lynette's body be? Because it isn't in the Sea of Abaco, where it should be if Brian's story is true. And if there's shark activity, something would have shown. All the locals, all the fishermen I've spoken to said the same thing. Something would have shown up on shore. Sharks don't eat all of us. They don't really like us. They sample, they'll nibble, they'll do stuff, they might attack, but usually something shows up on shore, and nothing has shown up with Lynette. No dry bag, that would have shown up too. Something of Lynette, yeah. Can't weigh her down in the Sea of Abaco because it's like a, it's like just like the shallowy deep end of a swimming pool. 6-8 feet. Deepest is 15 feet, but clear as a bell, and they have searched everywhere. She's not in the Sea of Abaco, and she should be, if Brian's story is true, which is why I call bullshit, and so many other reasons. So Nathan also did some searching on the shore. He decided, and I'm going to let the video roll and I'll explain what he did. He decided to also go to the place where Brian purportedly washed up. I'll say purportedly because his dinghy was there, but I don't know that he washed up. I don't believe that whole story about a 9-hour wash up. We've already seen Blaine's demonstrate. Wait, we haven't. You're about to see a demonstration of just how far you would actually drift with these conditions. And bro, you didn't drift 4 miles in 9 hours. You'll see it in a moment. But these are the videos that Nathan took on the shoreline all around that area where Brian Hooker swears he just washed right up after floating. It's a good thing to see because you can sort of see the topography of the beach. Do you see how rocky it is? Yes, there are some sandy patches. So it's important for searchers to look for what looks like recently disturbed. And people I've spoken to also said has to be above the high tide mark. Because if you're below the high tide mark and you try to bury a body in sand on a beach, that body's coming up because that sand's going to move. So if you're a mariner, and Brian and Lynette were mariners, you would likely know that you've got to get above the high tide mark on the beaches. Plenty of beaches that are secluded, that in the dark of night, you could dig for hours. I mean, look at this one. This is over on Marsh Harbor, not far from where Brian washed up. But you got to get above this. See that water? See that tide comes right in there? It's got to be above that. And when you get higher, you see all the debris that's left over from, I don't know, crap that gets into the ocean and washes up on shore. After a hurricane, there's a ton of it as well. Sailors accidentally lose things off the side, sometimes not so accidentally lose things off the side, and a lot of it ends up here. But that high tide mark and the debris mark, you got to go above that. And it starts to get really hard to dig in the coral. But I was watching this so closely, looking for anything that might have looked like Lynette's dry bag, which was bright green, or her bathing suit cover-up, which was, you know, aquamarine blue. And every time something kind of bluish or green showed up on the screen, I thought, oh, slow down, I want to see it. But mark my words, don't worry. It's not that it was missed. If the camera went by quickly, it's not that it was missed. Nathan's eyes were looking everywhere while the camera was just pointing forward. So Nathan looked, and he knew she was wearing the aquamarine bathing suit cover-up.
Hello, Lindsay. This is a video I am taking facing Hope Town and Lubbers. And then towards the left, at the very end, is Boat Harbor. And then between that, right there, that is the same boatyard in which Brian notified security of his wife's disappearance.
Oh, great. Okay. Okay. I want to pause here because up on the top of your screen, in the distance, you can see the boatyard. Look at that. That's the infamous boatyard where Brian said he had to scramble through brush and all the rest to get to help at that boatyard. I don't know why I just didn't go along the shore, but okay, whatever, scramble through the woods. But he said he scrambled through the woods to get help at the boatyard. That was that boatyard. This is how far away he says he washed up. Very convenient that he washed up close to getting help. And I have to say that as Nathan does this tour and we see all the detritus that's washed up on shore, I was so circumspect about it. And again, there's this green thing that I was like, wait, I got to see that green thing. You'll see it in a sec. Because I wondered, is that Lynette's dry bag? Is it possible? That dry bag or that bag of whatever is very, very weathered, very old, and doesn't look like hers. So don't worry that you didn't get to zero in on it. Any of the green stuff, any of the aquamarine stuff that is on the beach, he looked at. But I got to say that, again, if somebody killed Lynette on board and if somebody needed to get rid of Lynette, I don't think that somebody would get rid of her in the same place that he washes his boat up, right? This is the place where he washed where he washed up. He says he washed up. I don't believe he washed up. I think he strategically got his way over here and then had a story about washing up. But I just don't think you'd want to have the body close to where you washed up. You'd kind of want to go in the opposite direction, which tells me, after studying the charts there, is that way off to the right of this beach, across the water to the first landmass, is Lubbers Key. And we'd been spending a lot of time over on the eastern shore of Lubbers Key because it looks right into Elbow Key. But I'm starting to think, with a lot of tips from the locals, that the west side of Elbow Key may be more important. It's not that far from where you are right now, from where Brian washed up, right? Maybe, just maybe, that engine didn't lose the key when Lynette magically was able to grab a dry bag and grab the key lanyard and bounce out of a boat that she was apparently driving with her hand on the throttle, whatever, the tiller. That's a scenario that doesn't make sense. But it would be not that hard to get in that boat and make your way around Lubbers, right? The leeward side of Lubbers, where there's lots of secluded beaches, and bury a body. That wouldn't be hard. And then head over to this area that you're looking at and then say, oh, look at me. I blew all night and landed here. So maybe something else, maybe Lynette will land here. Or maybe her dry bag will land here. And what do you know? Our green floaty that I tossed her, it landed here. You might want to misdirect and have her nowhere near this area. Nonetheless, important to look at it, important to search these areas. And it's super fascinating, again, topographically, to see how rocky it is. It's not just all soft sand that goes out, you know, like Aruba or Cancun, those white sand beaches that go out without any rocks at all. There's a lot of rocks here. It may not be that easy to dig and bury something. Like, I don't know, maybe a body. Again, not saying he did that, but if he needed to, for any reason, you're seeing what Nathan was able to see up close and personal. And all the things that have washed, all the secrets behind all these things that have washed up. That hat, we called, we checked. It's not Lynette's. Lynette's family said they'd never seen it. It's a women's fishing tournament, and it wasn't something Lynette had done. But it's just, you wonder about all the secrets behind these things that washed up on this shore in Marsh Harbor. And one last thing that Nathan found while he was videotaping right around, you know, the area of Marsh Harbor, Nathan came upon this. And I just like, ugh, my heart just sank. I saw this beautiful wreath of flowers on the shore where Brian says he washed up on Marsh Harbor. As Nathan was scouring the shore there, he came across this wreath of pink and purple flowers. And I was reminded of these lovely ladies who several weeks ago, who didn't know Lynette, they got together a volunteer boat. They got together a volunteer to acquire the flowers from a flower shop. And they sent out a floral tribute in the sea to Lynette. It was so lovely of them. They didn't know her. They said a prayer. They didn't want it to be public. They gave me the videos of the flowers, but they didn't give the video of the tribute. They just didn't want that to be public. But that wreath, I don't know if that's part of it or if that's something completely different, but that's right in the area where Brian's dinghy washed up, that purpley floral wreath. Just wanted to share that with you because it made my heart skip a beat. And watch as we play this video, because you'll see Nathan going from this, pans right over to the boatyard again. That's exactly how far the boatyard was. That's how far Brian Hooker had to make his way to find safety after washing up on shore. But yeah, who knows if you know if it's the part of the floral tribute, if you recognize it, or if you're one of the ladies who did it, thank you for doing that. Let us know if that was part in the comments. Let us know if that was part of the floral tribute. So these were important videos that we wanted to show you. And Nathan, you're the best. Thank you for volunteering your time, your effort, your energy, your physical person, and your videotaping to do that and show us what it looks like. Everybody in the comments, please thank Nathan. What a saint. And I'll tell you something else. Now to La Pièce de Résistance. This is the thing that Blaine Stevenson did for us. And it's like, Brian, you mofo liar. Honestly, your float pattern, your tides, your currents, your wind, nothing about that night was what you said it was. There were no 2 to 3 foot seas. I have multiple witnesses and video and photos of how calm and glassy the sea was. Just as you get off the shore of Elbow Key in the lee of Elbow Key. And then it goes to a little ripple of nothing. Your whole story is bullshit based on facts, witness evidence, and video that doesn't lie. And mariner's charts. So just to continue proving you wrong, Blaine Stevenson found the replication of the conditions as best he could. Now, he's not in that area, so he's very, very careful to point this all out to you, that he wanted to wait until he had 10 to 15 knot winds, because the winds were around 15, 18 knots when Brian says he, you know, blew to hell and back. And he wanted to make sure that the tide was a slack tide, because that's what Brian would have had. He also wanted to make sure that the wind direction and the current directions were the same and the tides were the same direction. These tides south to north at Abaco's, and he wanted to replicate what he could do there. So he did this. He just said, I'm just going to get in my dinghy, similar in size and in make, the plastic dinghy that's rigid, not inflatable. And I love Blaine. He packed a sandwich. Because he knew he was going to be gone for a while, right? He packed a sandwich. He took his radio, very smart, so that he would have, you know, help if he needed it. And he could also, people could communicate with him to say, are you okay? And multiple people did, as they do when you're floating in a dinghy, Brian, Nobody saw you or came to your aid because multiple people have come to Blaine both times he's done demonstrations in his dinghy. One paddling, where he was able to paddle and get back to his boat, which means you suck. You're either a liar or you suck, and neither one's good. You couldn't paddle to your wife, ex-Marine. Ugh. Anyway, so he took a sandwich, he took his radio, and he just put up his feet in his boat, checked the time, checked the tides, checked the wind, checked everything, radioed a few of the boats that radioed to him, told people, I'm good, but thanks for checking. I'm doing a demonstration. And he was able to basically prove that Brian's story is bullshit. I'm going to let him do the math for you, but the headline here, because there's nautical miles and then there's standard miles, and, you know, Brian's story is that he floated 4.3 miles with no navigational abilities and, you know, a broken oar, whatever. One oar, fine. I could have done it. And I'm a girl. I'm half the size of you, pal. But this was his story. I went 4.3 miles and washed up on Marsh Harbor. And how long really should it have taken? If you look at Blaine's demo, kind of like almost half that. Like, little over half that, but nowhere near 9. Nowhere near 9 hours. In between a lot of what he's done, he's showing maps of where he is so that he is fully transparent that he's in a different place. He's down in the Virgin Islands. So he's replicating bay conditions as well, and he'll show you the maps. You will see exactly the kind of topography that he's trying to create a very similar environment. It won't be exact. It'll be PDC, pretty damn close. Right. And also we speed up the video in certain areas because at some point he's just going to float and float and float and you'll just hear waves lapping. So we would speed it up for you so that you can watch his demonstration in, you know, an acceptable amount of time and still get the results. So I want to let Blaine Stevenson take it away and go through all the sciencey stuff with you. Take a look.
All right. So it's kind of weird to face the camera on this conversation, but today what I did is I wanted to find out how fast my dinghy will drift if I just park it next to land and let it drift out to sea. I tried to replicate the conditions as close to the Abaco Sea as far as terrain goes, and I'll show you that here.
Okay, so this is the route I took. The reason why I chose this particular spot is you can see right down below the green, there's an open bay, a channel, and then another open bay where I started. And that reminded me as close as I could to reproducing the Abaco Inn channel, where there was land, body of water, a channel, and then where the incident took place. Now what we can see here is I started here, finished here. My stats were, I guess I got to turn that sideways. My stats were I went 7.7 nautical miles in 1 hour. So let me put some math up on the screen here. So if I did 0.7 nautical miles in 1 hour, how many hours would it take for me to go 4.3 US miles at that speed? And then it's going to give me all the calculations. 1 nautical mile is approximately 1.5 statute U.S. miles. Since you're traveling 0.7 nautical miles per hour, also known as 0.7 knots, we multiply blah, 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 blah. 4.3, blah, blah, blah. It's saying right there, 5.338 hours. Now, that is with wind between 10 and 15 knots for the hour I did.
As you can see, I went 0.7 nautical miles in 1 hour. And then if you look at the charts and Google Maps from here, you can see where the incident occurred and where Brian came to shore was 4.3 US miles or statute miles.
Okay, so we can zoom in on this spot and see that it's Marsh Harbor Boatyard. We can see that boat coming out. We go across the Sea of Abaco, We know the incident happened right coming out of this channel, so we put a pin here. And then measure distance to Marsh Harbor Boatyard. He wound up on ground, so right about there. So we're looking at 4.3 nautical miles is how far he drifted.
So then we have to do the math, which you can see here. So in conclusion, it is saying that in 10 to 15 knot winds, it would take 5.3 hours to drift that distance. Now, at no point did I paddle. I just literally laid in the boat. I will probably put in some clips of me just laying in the boat. I'm not going to subject you guys to the full hour-long video of me laying in a dinghy, eating a sandwich, and explaining to every boat that goes by that I was fine. I'm just not going to do that. If somebody wants to call me out and say that I'm a liar and that didn't happen, so be it. I do have the hour-long video to go with it. But again, the winds were 10 to 15. The distance was 0.7 nautical miles, which would mean to travel 4.3 statute miles, I would have to be out there for 5.3 hours. Make of that what you will. We are still averaging about a tenth of a knot every 10 minutes. There's some math to be done there. I'll put it up on the screen. As you can see, I'm just going to do this one little turn to make sure we don't hit the back end of their boat. And we'll continue to drift. And I will see you guys in 45 minutes. And we'll see how far you can make it in an hour. I made it back. As you see, the wind still stayed between 10 and 13 miles As you can see, the wind stayed between 10 and 15 knots per hour, which has been pretty consistent out here all day. I'd say that last hour was a good representation of that.
So there you have it. Boy, I hope Brian Hooker's watching this. What a joke. Really, 4.3 miles in 9 hours, and the wind was blowing even harder for you. Wouldn't have taken that long. The demo is great, and Blaine, you're a saint. Thank you. Helps everybody to really see what it looks like, what it feels like, and actually doing it just helps to prove little by little all the pieces of Brian's little puzzle are crap. They don't fit. They are not legit. They're not logical. They don't fit the facts. They don't fit the weather. They don't fit the environment. They don't fit the tides. They don't fit the waves. They don't fit the current. They don't fit the tide. They don't fit the anything. They don't fit. And you know what happens if the glove don't fit? I don't think I'm going to quit because I don't like what happened in OJ here. There's more coming. Every day we get something new. And every day, it's one more chipping away of Brian's little puzzle. I don't know how much more is needed, honestly, because for me, in the business that I've done for 38 years, probable cause isn't this hard, you know? Probable cause is easier than this. It's just that we have two different jurisdictions. Got the Bahamian authorities and the United States Coast Guard. And that's not always easy. You just think about how things were for Natalie Holloway's family trying to get answers in Aruba, and they were really helpful. So I really hope the Bahamian authorities are going to be helpful to everyone who offers assistance in the near future. I really hope that they will take everyone up on helping to find the answers, because Darlene Hamlet and Carly Aylesworth are missing the most important person in their lives. Darlene's missing her daughter, and Carly is missing her mom. And every morning they wake up wondering, where is she? And I think everyone owes it to them to give every bit of their energy to finding that woman, finding Lynette Hooker, and then finding out where Brian is and whether he did something to her. He's not charged. He's not guilty of anything yet. But TikTok. Thanks, everybody, for watching. I remind you, the tip line has been amazing. Please keep those tips and videos and theories coming. We love hearing from you. It has been so helpful. DropDeadSeriousInfo@gmail.com. DropDeadSeriousInfo@gmail.com. Super helpful. And I will make this appeal again. It is maddening to know that there are some people who we have finally been able to track down with video and it's been recorded over, because time is ticking. Doesn't mean it's gone forever. But if you have video, if you know someone who has video pointing out to the Sea of Abaco between 7 p.m. and let's say 2 a.m. on Saturday, April the 4th, the night before Easter, please get a hold of us. DropDeadSeriousInfo@gmail.com. That video could be the linchpin in all of this. That video could prove that Brian and Lynette made it back to Soulmate, that there was no bouncing off the boat 1,000 yards that way. No, it actually could mean the difference. So please reach out. We can keep you anonymous. Happy to do so. But look, we're going to crowdsource this thing, and I think it's going to get solved. TikTok. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks for watching. And remember, the truth isn't just serious. It's drop dead serious.